Good morning, everybody. So, I really believe the Holy Spirit's direct us to do something a little different. So, I'm flipping this morning. I'm going to preach first. Then we're going to worship after that, all right? And there's a reason, I think, you know, we set aside this time of year to celebrate the Lord sending His Son, although it's probably 99.9% Jesus wasn't born this time of year. But we should set aside time to thank God for sending His Son. And so when we go live, I'm going to go first, and we're going to come back and worship after I share with you what I want to, what I believe the Holy Spirit's really given me this morning. And I think it will enhance our praise and worship because we're celebrating this season to worship Him. So I want to give you some reasons this morning to worship Him. And then we're going to come back and end with our praise and our worship time. So I want to welcome everybody that's joined us live this morning. Let's welcome them with us this morning. I want to say a word to the live audience around the state and around the nation, the world, every place that everybody's listening. And also to you who come back and get the podcast. We have a lot of podcast viewers from around the world. I think in around 40 countries or more around the world. So we're thankful for all of you all. We want to stick with the truth. And we are coming to a close of a very different year. We are much aware that we are in the end of the age. We are aware of that here in this ministry. And we know that time is short. And we're thankful for all of you that have continued to support the church, even though you can't be here. That's enabled us to continue to do the ministry here. In fact, we have this year we have doubled everything we've given to our missionaries because they're So there's been more mission work happen this year, which is kind of supernatural, right? There's been more. Our mission budget is usually $60,000 or $70,000, so you can just imagine what we've been able to do in addition to that. So, and that's pretty good for a church that's only been around five years, I think. We just celebrated that, didn't we? So, I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for everybody that's hung in there. I'm thankful for all you that's continued to be faithful, whether your body's in this building or you're somewhere else this morning. And I want to preach to you this morning first, as you guys that have come online live, I'm going to go first instead of the praise and worship. And I think you'll see why in just a minute, why I wanted to do that, why I believe the Holy Spirit was bidding me to do that. And so if you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, and then I'm going to pray. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you that your presence is more than what we need. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent your Son to pay the price for a debt we couldn't pay. We thank you, Lord, for a season of celebration of that. And we know that people around the world are celebrating you sending your only begotten Son. And we know, Lord, that some of that will get out of bounds and some of it has been turned into so many things that are not right. But as we gather here today in one mind and one accord, our hearts are unified in the fact that we're not going to make it unless you sent your Son. And even though the world has tried to steal away this celebration, we recognize it for what it is. We recognize this morning that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will stand forever. We recognize that Jesus is that word. And we thank you, Jesus, for obeying the Father and coming to earth and taking on flesh so that we could have eternal life. We bless your name this morning, Lord. And we celebrate you. We celebrate you, God, giving. You are a giver. You're so much of a giver that you gave us the best you had. You didn't hold anything back. You didn't send gold and silver and corruptible things. You sent your only begotten Son. And we celebrate that. We wade through all the commercialism, all the materialism, and we too celebrate the opportunity to give to others. Those who are less fortunate, those who are in need, and to hopefully bring some hope to them. So we're here, Lord. We're your servants. And we want to be the people that you can turn to. If you can't find somebody else to do it, we always want to be available. We want to be the ones in the front of the line. Because you paid such a heavy price to redeem us. And we love you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, or house of bread. Jesus said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The Bible makes an interesting statement here. It didn't say there was no vacancy at the inn. It said there was no room for them in the inn. And I think we see the rejection of God's Son from the very first day he stepped on earth. If I saw a man and a woman ride in on a donkey and the woman get off pregnant, about to give birth, I think I would have offered her my quarters or asked somebody if they would let them have their room if I was the innkeeper. You think about that from your perspective this morning. What if somebody came to your house ready to give birth? Would you tell them to go get in the garage? Would you tell them to go outside underneath a carport? Or would you invite them in? The world rejected Jesus from day one. And they're still rejecting him. In fact, Jesus said that if one rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe him if they don't believe what's written about me already. And that's true, isn't it? Because Jesus has risen from the dead, proven both in our text and by the Romans and Jews. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So Jesus has risen from the dead, and the world still doesn't believe. Most of the world. He's the only one risen. Buddha's still in the grave. Mohammed's in the grave. We could go on and on and on, but Jesus is alive. And so in part, we can never come to a place of recognition of Jesus without celebrating his resurrection. Because Paul said, without the resurrection, and we're here to celebrate God sending his Son, but without the resurrection, we would all be still here without hope. Just be another holiday. But in order to die and be resurrected, God had to send his son, and he sent him in the form of flesh. And as soon as they got there and got ready to introduce his son to the world said, hey, we don't have any room for you here. So the first question I would ask you this morning, is there room for Jesus in your inn? And if there is, what room will you give him? Will you let him have your room? Will you put him in the garage? Where is Jesus in your life this morning? What part, what room does he have in your inn? Now, why did God send his son? I'm going to read to you a verse that, quite frankly, I don't read very often out in public because this is so John 3:16. I'm going to start in John 3 and 12. But this verse is so widely known, even by those who are lost, we don't read it a whole lot. I quote it a lot, but I don't go back to the pages and read it very often. But I still, even though we all quote it probably quite often. This is what Jesus said in verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Think about that for a minute. We've had six prophetic words this year that come forth into this body. Some of those were, a couple of those were for us locally, but several of those were for the entire body. And we're trying to get this last word especially out to the whole body. Think about how God would take time to speak a word to a group of people, single them out, and say, here's a word for you, and here's a word for you, but I want you to pass it on, just like they did with the scriptures. Think about a God that specific, and then to speak to you and I individually through his word and through prayer. Think about a God that's that genuine and that caring that he would do that. Well, that all comes back to what we're talking about today. I don't know if God looked around heaven and said, you know, those people are in trouble down there. I don't think he did that because the Bible says he was slain before the foundation of the world. But he knew we were going to get in trouble. And if we put it in layman's terms and God looked around in eternity and said, what shall I give to redeem those people that have gone astray or are going to go astray? What would you give? If people came by your house and needed to be redeemed, what would you give? Well, God gave us his only begotten Son. And in 12, he said, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave. Every Christian is a giver. You have to be. You don't have a choice. If the Spirit of God is in us, we're givers. If the Spirit of God is not in us, we won't be givers. We'll be hoarders. We'll be self-centered. But you can't have the Spirit of God in you and not be a giver. It's impossible. You think about God's first movement in the spirit realm was his first movement was love. And then his first outward action was to do what? Give. You can't call yourself a Christian if you're not a giver. Because that's how every bit of this started. It started by God agapowing, the verb form of agape. So it's action, right? God agapowed And it prompted him to do what? To give. His first action was not to condemn. His first action was to give something away. And what he gave was the greatest thing he had to give. You think about what you would give. If you gave your son or your daughter to rescue somebody, if I'm willing to give my son or my daughter to rescue someone, you can have anything I've got. You think about that. You can have any possession I have. If I'm willing, and that's why Paul said in the book of Romans, how will he not freely give us all things? Everybody say all things. That pertain to life and godliness through Christ. That's what God is saying. He's saying, because I gave you the greatest gift I could have, and it was the deepest part of me, it was the greatest sacrifice that God could give, then he opens the heavens up and says, that's why you have access to everything I have. I didn't fully understand that. I thought, wouldn't it have been a greater sacrifice if the Father had have come himself? And I learned that lesson in an emergency room with one of my own children. My oldest son, we about lost him a couple of times because he had a lung condition until the Lord healed him. And the Lord did heal him. We were having Thanksgiving dinner. We were feeding about 1,000 people from the church that day. And he had that condition set in on him. It was so bad, his eyes rolled back in his head. You couldn't even see his pupils. He was gone. And we were like 50 minutes from the hospital. Of course, everybody started praying, and we prayed in the spirit. We prayed every way we could. I got in the vehicle, left the Thanksgiving dinner, and I broke the law getting there. When we got there, he came to life. His eyes rolled back. His breathing came back to normal. And we'd been in the hospital with him many times up to that point. We got out in the parking lot. I looked at my wife. I said, if we take him in there and tell them what's wrong, they're going to think we're nuts. And then that scripture came to me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. We left dinner. I said, let's go eat and celebrate. He never went back to the hospital again, because the Lord healed him that day. Amen. A lot of people were praying. A lot of people were interceding. But before that, we were in the emergency room one time, and he was about 2, I think, or 3. And he'd been in there so much and had slept in a tent so many times in the course of his first 3 or 4 years. I think he was 4 or 5 when God finally healed him that day. He knew what was coming. He knew they were going to start sticking him and loading him up. And I had to leave the room because he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and I had to walk out of the emergency room. In that moment, I realized how it was a greater sacrifice for God to send his son. Because I would have laid on that table and took every needle and everything that was coming to him that day again. And I realized what a sacrifice it was. It was a greater sacrifice for God to send his son than for him, the Father, to come himself. I understood that for the first time. So when we come before the Lord, we got to know, no matter what our circumstances are, that he's willing to meet us where we're at, because he sent his son, his only begotten son. What else could he do? This is why God sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow. Sent his Son to... Can I say this? And I include America in this now. This is a wicked place. This world is a wicked place. That we know about, we've killed 61 million babies in this nation alone. That's the ones we know about. I'm sure it's higher than that. That's just one country. Do you know abortion is pretty much legal around the world? The most innocent of anything in the earth. This is a wicked place. And for God to send this, his only begotten Son, to a wicked, wicked world is truly amazing. Because most of us probably would not have done that. You want me to send my Son where? And he says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he who did not believe in the name of the Holy One, name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come. Here's what we celebrate. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And that's true. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Here is the message for our celebration. Galatians 1, verse 3. And then I'm going to share something with you that's deep inside of me this morning. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. Christmas is that God was so moved with agape, love with no motive, right? God loved us with a straight arrow. He had no motive. He loved stick man for stick man's sake. That it caused him to give. And what did he give? Make sure you say this right. His only begotten Son. And I could care less whether this is offensive or not. He's a step above us. He's the only. Let me say, he's 10 steps above us, or 1,000 steps. I don't have the numbers. He's the only begotten Son. Amen to that. So God agape'd. I'm going to make up a word here, put an ED on it. That it caused him to give, and this is what he gave. We should celebrate that every day. And I hope you do. Finally, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. And then we'll rejoice and celebrate over the things that you've heard this morning. But I need to spend just a little time here because this is deep, deep in my inner man this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Here's a product of why God sent His Son to earth. This is what He came to do. We saw why God done it in John and in Galatians. Now, how does that work itself out? How does Jesus do that? Here it is. I thank you, Father, in verse 25, at the time that Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. And here it is. Here's why Jesus came, from His perspective. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We know the world is there, and most of them don't understand it. But I'm concerned that a lot of the church is there. They're so cumbered about with the world and the things of the world, the fear and the doubt and the unbelief. It makes you weary, I think is how the King James says it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus came to do that. He came to bring that to us. The word labor, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, or labor. The word weary there is this Greek word. Kopaio. Kopaio is the word we translate labor and weary. He said something to us. He said, my yoke is easy. You see that? He said, take my yoke, and my yoke is easy. We don't generally think about a yoke being an easy thing, do we? In fact, we think about a yoke being a laborious thing or something we labor a lot with. But Jesus said, if you get on my yoke with me and learn of me or learn from me, you'll find that my yoke is easy. Now, how many feel like your life's easy? Don't raise your hand, just think about it. The word means, it means weary, of course, because that's one of the words we translated in the original King James. It means to be spent from toil. Think about that. And what are we spent from? What are we laboring for? What's making you weary? And then the root of this word means to feel trouble, to be vexed, and to be uneasy. And we'd be amiss if every one of us didn't say we could all testify to those times in our lives. And those times do come, and we have to get re-yoked. Let me tell you the lie the world believes. that they're not under a yoke. Let me tell you something. Everybody wears a yoke. It's just depending on what yoke you wear. The sinner wears it. The drug addict wears it. The sexually immoral wear it. The devil worshipers wear it. The man who's driven by greed and money wears it. Everybody wears a yoke. We all wear one. The whole world wears a yoke. What Jesus came by and offered was a different yoke. He offered us, by God sending him and Jesus being willing to obey the Father, he said, I'm willing to get you out of the yoke you're in and put you in the yoke with me. That word, weary and labor, what Jesus is offsetting is that. He come, that's why Isaiah said, he give us beauty for ashes, glory for despair, right? Dancing for mourning. Jesus said, I'll get that yoke off of you and put it on me if you'll wear my yoke. Then you get the benefits of my yoke, and I'll take the death from your yoke. It doesn't matter what yoke you're caught up in. There are some yokes that are more visible to the world than others, but the devil will drive you with a yoke no matter what it is. And Jesus came, was sent by the Father, was released by the Father. That the Father would do that is amazing. But he releases him as the Father, and then Jesus surrenders to that will and come to trade yokes with you and I. What is it that's driving you this morning? You're listening to me. Wherever you're at in the world or in this building, what is it that would drive you? What yoke is wrapped around you that drives you, that you are uneasy about, that you can't get relief from? Is it a yoke of fear or doubt or fleshliness or worldliness? What is it that's driving you for this yoke? Well, there's one that comes by and he says, hey, I'll trade yokes with you. I'll take your yoke. I'll take the thing in your life that keeps you the most unsettled, that causes you to labor and toil, but yet stay uneasy and weary. What is it in our lives that may cause that? Is that a yoke you wear this morning? And so we don't see things the way God does. We have these major things we call sin, and then the Bible says unbelief is evil. It calls it evil. Tells us not to worry. The Bible says worry only, I think that one of the versions uses fretting and worrying, saying fretting only, tell your neighbor, say it, only causes harm. That's all worry can do. And I think you'll find out that medical science has proven that. Worrying, being taxed. So Jesus stepped into this life, and I thought about that this morning, because this morning I feel that. I feel that. That toil and that weariness from the battle my family's in. I feel that yoke that the enemy would like to put on me. He'd like to get me to trade my yoke back in from Jesus and take on his yoke of frustration and doubt and unbelief and fear. And here's the thing about the enemy. He's there. He's always waiting to trade yokes with you again. He always wants to trade yokes with us. I feel that uneasiness and that trouble, the vexing of a battle over a soul. It's heavy. And it's so heavy at times that you try to get another yoke so you can do it in the natural or in the flesh. And we all face that. We all face a long life's journey the opportunity to trade yokes again. Here's what we've all found out. I tell you, this world and its battles are way too heavy if we're doing them on our own. Just entirely too heavy. And to keep yoked, if you get in that yoke with the Lord, if you take that yoke, you got to stay in that yoke in a place to where He can keep doing the labor. Do you realize what Jesus is offering us here? He's saying, I've already done the labor, and if there's more labor to do, I'll do it. You get in the yoke. That's why He came. He came because He knew all the yokes that we were tempted to carry or maybe were bound in at that time. He knew those yokes would destroy us. He knew those yokes would not be light, that they would be heavy, and they would beat us to the ground. Here's a challenge. I wrote this down. It is difficult for a person by their free will, once they have received all things from God, to surrender wholly to God's will and rather do their own will, keeping the gifts from God as their own. That's a challenge for all of us. He says, I want you to get yoked. I've given you the freedom, the free will you have. I've given you all the things that you have, the faculties to move through life. Now what I want you to do is I want you to surrender all that back to me and get in this yoke. But that's a challenge. Because once you get that free will and you've got this level of sovereignty, and when I say that, I mean a level of it to where we're autonomous and you can decide to do something wrong. You can decide to do something right. You can decide to honor God. You can decide to do those things. All the while forgetting that those gifts of knowledge and the gift of a free will, all of that came from God. What His desire was is that we would turn and re-surrender that to Him of our own will and not keep all the gifts that He gave us to use them for our own means and end. See, and they say He got saved before He died, and I pray to God He died because He'd be good leading worship in heaven, Elvis. But if you think about Elvis, who grew up in the church initially and took, and there's been a lot of singers, there's some out there today that done the same thing. They grew up in the anointing under the presence of God, and they took all those gifts He disposed upon them, and they gave them to a harlotry world. They gave their lives away. They got all these gifts and all these talents, and it's not just singers. It's any people. A lot of people do that. They gave all their life away. They got all these good gifts from God, and instead of re-yoking with Him out of their own volition, out of their own free will, they went out there and got yoked with the world. And why did they do it? Probably varied reasons why they did it. They did it primarily because they were short-sighted. They only lived for the moment. And that's a challenge for any of us. Here's a quote from a man, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who was around the 1000 A.D. His writings are so relevant. It says, the generation which does not regulate its heart will learn too late how easy was Christ's yoke in comparison with the sorrow and light was his burden from which they withdrew their stiff necks. See, that's what Jesus offers. Jesus, with this passage, he offers a yoke in trade for the yoke you and I have already. And here's how the world works and Satan works. They get us under these yokes, and the moment, sin, the Bible says, sin has pleasure for a season, right? And then that yoke starts choking us and chafing us and irritating us and demanding of us. And then the yoke, it gets so weary and so tight that it starts dragging us. And that's what Bernard's saying here. He's saying the generation that don't regulate its heart will find too late that it was Christ's yokes was much easier compared to the sorrow they suffered from all those other yokes. So before we go into our worship time, I want to say to you, and I want to make this as clear as I can, everybody wears a yoke. You can lie to yourself this morning, wherever you're at. You can catch this podcast next week. But we all wear a yoke. The question is, whose yoke are you wearing? Are you wearing the yoke of the Lord, which is easy, he said, and light? Or are you wearing the yoke that the world would yoke you up with, or Satan? And this is the message of why God sent his son. You want to know why God sent his son? Here it is. Come to me, all you who are who labor or who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. What's the Bible say in Hebrews? He that is entered into Christ has ceased from his own labor. You enter into that rest when you cease from your own labor. Jesus is saying, that's what this whole passage is about. It's about trading your, who does the work. It's about trading in who does the labor. God sent his son so you wouldn't have to labor. He did the labor for us. Somebody give the Lord praise for that. Amen. So he says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's that soulish man that stays at unrest. Think about it. Who gets the news first? Unless you're in prayer and in a moment with God, you're going to get the news first in your soulish man. Everybody remember that preaching and teaching for months on the soul and the spirit, right? You're going to get the news first with your soulish man, right? He said you can find some rest for your souls if you'll take my yoke upon you. You can find rest. You think about when you watch a newscast or listen to news or whatever, your soul man gets that first. And the first thing he does is he has a reaction to it, right? And the spirit man down in there is trying to get some input into that, right? And so Jesus is saying, quit wearing the yokes of the world and wear my yoke. It don't chafe. It don't get too tight. I'll do the labor. Trust in my labor. Trust in what I've done. Get in this yoke with me, and I'll take the yoke that was about to choke you to death and wear it. I'll wear that. And that's what he did at the cross. He took that yoke and he said, who is it that's entered into the rest of the Lord? The Bible tells in Hebrews, he or she who has ceased from their own labor. That's who's entered into the rest of the Lord. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make this happen. I want you to find a place to rest. How do you rest? You rest by taking the yoke. If I came to you and said, I'm going to put you under this yoke, you know what the first thought in your mind would probably be in your soulish man? We getting ready to work, right? And that's what you say. How many remember Herschel Walker, who's a born-again believer now and solid Christian? You know what he used to do to get prepared to play football? They said they would hook the plow to him instead of the mule, and he would plow through the field with him pulling the plow. That's how he got so big and strong. He hooked to the plow himself instead of the mule. How many of y'all would like to do that? See, if I say to you, and I'm going to close here in just a minute, and we're going to go to worship time, because I think there's a lot for us to worship him for. You think about John 3:16, you think about Luke, you think about what he's saying here, I'll carry your yoke, or I'll give you my yoke, you can take yours. If I offer you a yoke, the first thing in your mind is going to be work, labor, toil. But that's our yoke, see? That's the yoke we have. That's the one we carry. And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to give you a different yoke. And so the greatest truths of God, as I've said many times, the greatest truths of God are paradoxical, right? If you want to live, you must what? I'll try that again. Not said it in a while, I guess. If you want to live, you must. If you want to receive, you must. Give, right? And so those are paradoxical truths. They're just the opposite of the way we think. You know, and I remember, I don't want to get into that too much, but this paradox is here. You're getting offered a yoke. You're thinking, hey, we're headed to the field to plow. Well, Jesus is saying, I'm going to put you in a yoke. I've already done the labor. Here's what he said. You're going to reap where you've not sown. It's what the Bible teaches. You and I will reap where we've not sown. Why? Because Jesus has sown already. If you read the book of Hosea, it all talks about God sowing seed into the earth. And then Abraham brings that to its fruition, Paul does when he's talking about Abraham's offspring. He brings it from the plural to the singular. Because why? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. One seed did all the labor. One seed is willing to take all the yokes and give us his. One seed, the only begotten, went to the cross and carried my shame, my guilt, my fear, my doubt, my unbelief, my sin, my iniquity, my diseases. He carried all of that. He took all the yokes that tried to grab my life. He's taken all the yokes that tries to grab your life. Fear and doubt and unbelief. He's taken all those yokes, carried them to the cross, let them nail him on a tree, and offered himself so you and I could have a new yoke. He's offering you a yoke. If you're listening to me this morning and you're going to catch this podcast, you go look in the mirror and look at your life and say, what is the yoke around you? What is that thing that drives you? What is that thing that moves you and tries to control your life? Is it fear? Is it doubt? There's so much fear going around right now. There's a spirit of fear and lying all over the world right now. They work together. Do you know that? How do you know? Think about yourself. Think back at your own life. When you got afraid, you were tempted to do what? Lie. Fear and lying sleep together. They produce fruit from one another. There's a spirit of fear and lying that's come to life in our world this year. So now we're challenged to trade this yoke that has no fear, that is totally consumed with truth, for what the world's offering us. They're offering us another yoke. They're saying, trade that yoke in that don't have any fear. That's not wisdom. That not what the world's saying? Trade that yoke in that's not got any fear. You should have some fear. Trade that yoke in that's only about truth. We got some alternative things you need to think about. That's what the world's offering. But Jesus said, and I can't say this enough, and I'm talking to myself and letting you listen. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I want to say a word to every Christian that's under the sound of my voice or will be in any of this media. If you're not feeding yourself the Word of God, you are messing up royally. I read a few extra books from time to time. Like some of these, I mostly read dead guys. You know that, this guy. Do not substitute studying God's Word for another person's book. Do not do it. Keep your Bible reading up. I'm getting ready to finish a book because the Holy Spirit's prompted me to do that. But it don't compare to the Word of God. It's a secondary thing. You make sure you eat from God's table faithfully. And if you don't like to read, download it on your phone, or unless you got one of them old cell bag phones, you can't do that. Whatever, get the CDs. I can get you the CDs. I can still get them. I might even have some cassettes if some of you got a card that old. The Word of God on cassette. Get the Word in you. Get it in you. Come unto me. You guys can come to the instruments. Come unto me, all you who are laboring heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Let's stand our feet. As we go into this worship time, I want you to consider how beautiful it is for Jesus to give us that yoke in replace of our own. I want you to consider how wonderful a time that we get to celebrate because God sent His Son and took our place. It's just Christmas time. It belongs to Christians. It don't belong to the world. If you got opportunity and you have the means to do it, you should give and bless others. It's a spirit of giving. It's a season of that. That's what God did. For God so loved the world that He gave. I don't have no problem with people giving and blessing others. Family, people outside. I don't have a problem with that. That's the spirit of the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of Christ. But this yoke is a beautiful offering to everybody. Come unto me. Father, we come to you right now. If there's anybody under the sound of my voice as we go into our praise and worship time that needs to come and trade their yoke, Lord, I'm just going to leave this altar open during our praise and worship time. Let us re-yoke.